Well, the Lord just, he's been stirring in me about worship. And honestly, people, when we come into this place, there needs to be a desire. And that invocation, what I looked that up, actually, and what it is an earnest desire, that earnest desire to worship. And God showed me the last scripture in Psalm 67. It's by the blessing and the goodness of God that all of the earth will come to fear him. And that fear is not something that you're afraid of him. You tremble because he's so awe-filled. And so your heart is so taken by the goodness and by this amazing love that you earnestly want to just fall on your knees and worship him because he loves us so much. And I've been praying for this, that when we come through those doors, when we come in here, that our hearts are so hungry to be in his presence, to worship him, that there's such a deep desire to just an ounce of your presence, God, just a drop of that incredible love once again into my heart, that I earnestly, I mean, it's like a groaning, earnestly, I want to desire you. I want to worship you. You know, a lot of people on the earth think, oh, you know, because the hurricanes and the crises that happen in the earth, then people will fear the Lord. Well, that's not the kind of fear that we want. The fear that God's wanting in us is to be so in love with him and drawn towards him because of his great goodness. And you know what? The earth will see the goodness that's in our lives from the Father being poured out. That's the kingdom of God. That's what they're going to see, is the goodness. And then they will be in fear, but full of awe and earnest desire to worship him. Amen.
Yeah, I want to be selfish for a second. I want to tell you a really, really quick little story. This week, we've had a really fun week in our family. My dad retired the other day, and so we had a lot of family and friends and stuff like that. And we were all hanging out on Friday night over at, or maybe it was Saturday night. Yeah, it was Friday night. We were hanging out over at my mom and dad's house, and we got a phone call from my middle brother. He's in the Air Force. He's in Alaska. And he told us that his wife, my sister-in-law, her grandmother had passed away here in Columbia. And they were very, very close. My family is very close with their family. My mom specifically is very close with her grandmother. And so Kayla, my sister-in-law, after they get off the phone, she's talking with my brother. And she's just really worried about coming down. She's really worried about the money and how much it costs. I mean, it costs a lot to fly from Alaska to here and all that. And so she found some tickets, the cheapest tickets she could find. I think they were $377. And I think it might have only been one way. But so my brother says, well, let's just see what we can do. Okay. He's like, let's get you down there. We're just going to, whatever it costs, it doesn't matter. We'll get you down there. And he says he pulled out his wallet just to see kind of how much he had on him and that kind of thing. He pulled out his wallet, and all of a sudden, he had a lot more cash than he thought he did. And he starts counting the cash, and he's like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. He pulled it out, and he counted it out to his wife, and he starts just cracking up laughing. And she's like, what? What are you laughing at? You know, my brother's kind of weird, so that's not uncommon. But he says, that may be very true. But so he pulls out the cash in his wallet and he counted it out to her, and it was exactly $377. Exactly. And then my brother texts me. He says, God, that guy, he's a funny one. So, guys, God provides. When you need something, he provides. Okay, and even right now, as you are trying to figure out what's going on with your life, what you're going to do in the future, what you want to be when you grow up, all that kind of stuff, he's got all that stuff figured out. You don't have to worry about that stuff. You know what his plan for you is? You're going to be awesome. You're going to be great. And you want to know why? because you're his kid, and he's awesome, okay? So I want you guys, as we go to Sunday school this morning, keep that in mind, okay? You're awesome because God is awesome. Is that cool? Well, I'm glad your parents think so. That's good. Well, Lord God, we thank you so much for this day, and we thank you so much for what you've given us, Lord. And we just we ask that you bless these kids as they head to Sunday school this morning. Bless me, Lord. I just want to be your mouthpiece here as I'm teaching one of the Sunday school classes this morning. So probably a lot of parents are not going to let their kids come now. But Lord, I ask that you let them trust me and trust you, Lord. But Lord, bless these kids this morning. Make a difference. Make an impact in their lives. We're having more kids coming every week, and I want to be baptized. I want to talk about being baptized. I want to take the Lord as my Savior. So Lord, make an impact this morning. We want to hear more of that every Sunday, Lord God. We love you, and we love these kids, and we give them to you. We put them in your hands, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
We are not those who live with no hope. Our hope is in God. He is an awesome God, and he reigns and he rules. That's what is meant when we say thy kingdom. It's God's rule and reign on earth as it is in heaven, as it has already come in heaven. Actually, the verbs there, that it's, I don't think it's, not in my New American Standard, it's not translated so well. The verbs would indicate a prior action that has already been accomplished. It's not that it's not something that is future. It is, we can pray as Jesus taught us to pray, let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come on earth as it has already come. Do you hear the difference there? As it has already come in heaven. So you can figure it out what heaven's like. You know, we have wonderful facts about that in Scripture. And then a lot of us have a whole lot of opinions about that. Okay? So, but it's all good, right? It's all good. Let me ask you this. Is there any neuropathy, inability to feel in heaven? Is there any cancer in heaven? Is there any brain aneurysms in heaven? Any sadness in heaven? Any tears in heaven? Any night or nastiness or anything like that? Any other words begin with N in heaven? No! There's an N word. None of that stuff's there. So, Jesus said, come thy kingdom on earth as it has already come in heaven. It's and look, guys, all right, I need to stand on this one, okay? This has nothing to do with the message, but it's kind of in me right now. Maybe there is something up here, Michael, I don't know. But I'm just saying, it's that we can pray that way. Jesus, he tells us, you pray this way. The disciples ask him in Matthew 6, you know, teach us how to pray. And he said, pray like this. Let whatever has happened in heaven, let it come to earth. And you can experience on earth that which has already come in heaven. Now, look, we have those moments where heaven breaks into earth. Have you ever experienced those? I bet you have. I have. Those moments where you've prayed and it's just like, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And so, you know, Jesus says that we don't have often because why? We just don't ask. And then sometimes when we ask with the wrong motives. We ask amiss. Fancy little Bible word there. But he says, pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it has already come in heaven. Thy will be done, same words, same verb again, form, as it has already been done in heaven. So the stuff that you know is going on in heaven, that's what you can pray for here on earth. And God, from time to time, breaks in. Now, he broke in big time when he sent Jesus. Let's get to the message. The parables of the mustard seed and leaven. You will find these mostly in the, they're all in the synoptics, in Matthew, Mark, Luke. And you'll find these two together. I think they're paired that way on purpose. But what we have in both of these is there's this contrast that I think is going on. And if you, I got some blanks to fill in there, so we haven't gotten to any yet. There's this contrast that is going on here that deals with the what I would call the magnitude or the might of what is going on here. Of the kingdom coming with its seemingly small and unpromising, even insignificant, beginning. And yet we should heed the words of the prophet Zechariah when he wrote in chapter 4 and verse 10, don't be despising small beginnings. Who among you would despise small beginnings, he says. So that's what I really want to talk about this morning. This event, this eschatos, this last things of event, when God broke into heaven, came out of heaven and broke into earth, the breaking into history, the kingdom coming, heaven invading earth, however you want to phrase it, came as a pretty small beginning, wouldn't you say? A baby. Can't get much smaller than that. Well, of course, unless it would be a mustard seed. Anybody ever seen a mustard seed? I've been trying to buy some mustard seeds for about 2 weeks now. And anybody around here even know what a mustard seed is? They know what mustard is. And it may be that I've asked the wrong person. I probably should have come to you, Joy. You go to Clover's? Well, that's probably why I didn't find any mustard seeds in. I don't go into that place. A little weird, a little different kind of deal there. My wife goes there all the time, so don't mess with me on this. She buys all that stuff there. Yeah. And unless we're talking about a mustard seed. So let's read the parable, okay? You'll find the parable of the mustard seed in all three synoptics, but I want to read it from the Gospel according to Matthew. I must hurry. He presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Now, I don't know what your translations say, but you need to underscore that. The his field is only found in one other place, and that's over in Luke, where you'll find the same story, the same parable. I know it's in Luke. Where's Luke? Somebody take Luke out of my Bible? In Luke chapter 13, it says in verse 19, it's like a mustard seed which a man took and threw into his own garden. Now, I think that's significant. And you'll hopefully see why in just a few moments. So back to Matthew's rendering of this parable. And this is smaller than all of verse 32, than all other seeds. But when it's actually not the smallest, but it'll do till small comes along. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree. It's this shrub-like tree. Talk about that in a moment. So that, it's so big, the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Now that passage is taken from over in Ezekiel 17. And so flip over, turn left at Matthew and just be over there by the time I get there, okay? And then verse 33 of Matthew 13, he spoke another parable. See, they're paired together. Spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Oh, I do like it when they rhyme. Heaven, leaven, okay? which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour until it was all leaven. Now, if you'll flip over to Ezekiel 17, here's the backdrop, I think, that Jesus had in mind whenever he shared these parables. Thus says the Lord God, I will also take, verse 22, I will also take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and set it out. I will pluck from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the high mountain of Israel, I will plant it, that it may bring forth, say that word with me, plant it, okay? He says, God says, I will plant it, that it may bring forth boughs and bear fruit and become a stately cedar. And birds of every kind will nest under it. They will nest in the shade of its branches. That's where that little passage, I think, definitely comes from. Verse 24, all the trees of the field will know that I am the Lord. You say that, I am the Lord. I bring down the high tree, I exalt the low tree, I dry up the green tree, I make the dry tree flourish. And then the prophet Ezekiel concludes with, I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. I will perform it, okay? And that's promise fulfilled. Promise fulfilled there. Now let's flip back to Matthew chapter 13. Now the imagery, I would just say this parenthetically, of Ezekiel 17 is one of judgment, where God is going to do a thing, and he says, I will do this thing, and the green trees, I'm going to dry up. It's really more of a prophecy of judgment. It's different in Matthew 13, not of judgment, but rather of blessing. I'm so glad that we sang the song, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. So, it's not one picture of, it's not a negative picture so much, although it's really not negative even in Ezekiel, because the positive part of that is this: what God promises he'll do, he will do. He will do it. He will perform it, okay? So just a couple of observations I want to make before we underscore the point, and I so want to get to this point. Observation one, it's kind of like a little English lesson here. I don't want you to get caught in the weeds of this stuff, but you know that I have a thing for words. When I read Scripture, I'm constantly asking questions of the Scripture, and I try to pay attention to these words. Some of the words that I've paid attention to in these two parables are the verbs that are used here. One of the things that I noticed, I thought, well, that's kind of weird, is in Matthew and Luke's gospel, the verbs are all in the past tense. Now, I know you're saying, oh, well, what's the big deal? Well, let me try to help you with this, okay? I want you to just take a look at it. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. Look at the verbs there. Took and sowed, past tense, okay? And then if you flip over into Luke 13, you'll see, where is Luke? You'll see it again. Took, threw, grew, became, all past tense stuff. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, Matthew and Luke were written in the synoptics after the gospel according to Mark. Mark, most believe, was the first of the three synoptic gospels that were written. And then Matthew and Luke borrowed from. They had some of their own stuff going on, but they also borrowed some things from Mark's gospel. Most probably, the church had already been birthed by the time that Matthew and Luke were writing. And so as it was birthed, many people believe that these were stories. You know, they were. Can't you imagine what it was like? Tell us what it was like to be with Jesus, you know. Did anybody ever hear, oh, I was with him. I was there that day whenever he talked about the mustard seed. Do you remember that? No, tell us about the mustard seed, Joe, or whatever the guy's name was. Tell us about the mustard seed. Oh, I said, well, he said, you know, if you, he said that if you took a mustard seed and if you, you know, planted it, past tense stuff, these were, they were remembering things that had happened, okay? Now, quickly, if you get to Mark's gospel, he doesn't use past tense verbs. And it just caught my attention whenever I was reading. I thought, well, that's kind of weird. Why all of a sudden does Mark not use pants? Well, past tense, present tense verbs. Well, before the birth of the church, most probably. These were so fresh that Mark was seeing. Now, John Mark, who was he? Who did he hang out with? Anybody remember that? Well, Paul, but he was Simon Peter's right-hand man, probably his secretary, his administrative assistant. So if you want to know something about how Simon Peter lived his life, read the Gospel according to Mark. It's the shortest of all of them. And the word that so is characterized by the Gospel according to Mark is what? Immediately, immediately, immediately. You go through that and you just highlight all the immediately's that you'll find. You know, all the others, you know, like Matthew and Luke, how do they begin their Gospels? Come on, work with me a little bit here. How do they begin their Gospels? What? Yeah, all the begats. I've never preached on the begats. I will this year in December. Oh, please, no. I'll try to spice it up a little bit. But so they begin with genealogy, and then what does it go to? After Matthew 1, Matthew 2 goes to what? What? This guy's a pastor. It goes to what? What big event? The kingdom coming. Okay? The birth of Jesus. The kingdom coming. And not just coming and going, but coming and staying. Say it with me. Staying. Come on, we're a little lethargic this morning. Gotta get the thing going here. And staying not in the person of Jesus, but in the person of his Spirit. Because after Jesus was crucified and then raised from the dead, he meets with his disciples in the upper room. What does he do? He says, you know what? I'm going to give you something just like me that you've never experienced before. Well, you have, as you've been with me for these 3 years plus or so. He says, I am going to give you the Holy Spirit. And then John's gospel writes, he what? Breathed into them the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came to stay. Never will forget, dear friends from Christian Fellowship here. Never will forget honestly, it's the one and only prophetic word that I remember in my 10 years there, Susan. It came from Bill Pinkham. That doesn't mean there weren't others. I'm just saying it's what I remember. Bill Pinkham, who works with men's ministry and navigators at the crossing, discipling men. And Bill Pinkham had this prophetic word that he used, and he said, we always talk about wanting a visitation of the Lord. Come and visit us. You guys, I bet you were there and you remembered that. A visitation of the Lord. And he said, no more. God doesn't want to give you a visitation. He wants to give you a habitation. He doesn't just come to visit, you know, like Uncle Bill does at Thanksgiving. You wonder how you get rid of him. I hope there's no Uncle Bills here. But anyway, he doesn't just come and leave. No, no, no. Jesus comes with his bags and he unpacks them and he said, where's my room? He comes to stay, okay? Now that's important. That's so important. It's important with all of the worship songs that we did today and about blessing the Lord and being unchained and all of that kind of stuff. He's come to stay. He's unpacked his bags, okay? So Mark is talking from a present tense kind of a thing. He's hanging out with Simon Peter, and he's hearing all this stuff. He's hearing all this stuff. So, or at least wise, he gets it from Simon Peter as he tells him, who was a first. He was right there, heard this stuff. Okay, so it's all present tense verbs. Now you know whenever I've talked about present tense verbs, and we got to get to the point. The present tense verbs are those of continuous action. They don't just happen once, but they happen, are meant to happen again and again and again and again and again. So Mark writes, not Mark Wright, but for the guests, we got a guy here named Mark Wright. Okay, so here's what Mark says in chapter 4. About this same parable of mustard seed. He said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown, in other words, and these are present tense verbs, when sown, you know, as you're sowing, so you see, this parable was not just for them. Hey guys, it's for us. And it's talking about God's kingdom coming, because that's what all of his parables are about. The main theme of the parables is of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of God is like. And then he gives these amazing parables. Now, one other thing. And I don't want you to get stuck in the weeds on this either. There is a specific kind or quality of the verbs in Greek. There's about six different kinds of present action, present tense verbs in Greek. And it's very, very, I think it's very, very important in this case. And Mark really gives us a clue to this. And he uses one of these particular kinds of modes. They're called modes or moods, okay? And it's a particular kind that accentuates the reality of an action. And the reality of the action is dependent upon the affirmation of the one who is acting. Now, you don't remember any of that stuff. I know that. But in other words, it just says, this thing will become a reality if the person who is doing it will just do it. Okay, now, I hope you got something from that right there when we get ready to talk about the point of this parable. If we don't do it, if we don't plant the mustard seed, if we're in our field, that's critical to this whole deal. If we don't do that, and it's a choice, guys. You know, we said last week, you can either sow to the flesh, or you can plant things to the flesh, or you can plant them to the Spirit. It's talking about planting things to the Spirit, okay? And so if you don't do it, the particular kind of a mode that is used here is, it ain't happening. It's not happening. I asked Dave Sims a while ago. I said his son farmed like 8 million acres or something like that up north. And I had the privilege, I don't know how many, what was this, 2, 3, 4 years ago, Dave? Where'd Dave go? There it is right there. And I can't find Luke, can't find Mark, can't find Dave. So I had the privilege of getting a ride on one of those massive combines up there that is all computer driven. And I got up there and I said, where's the steering wheel on this thing? He said, oh, and then there's all these banks of computers up there. And he's got this measuring that and this and that. And one of them measures exactly the yield that when the combine goes through, what kind of yield that he's getting immediately. Immediately, okay? So I asked Dave this morning, I said, man, I know this, the corn around property where we live, it looked like it was some corn. And I don't know. It's probably not a big deal. I guess I have a confession to make. Good for the soul, bad for the reputation when it comes to, you know, preachers making confessions and stuff. And so I said, man, that just looks great, the corn in that field. So I stopped the car. We were out to the house and I... Yeah. The ear that I picked, only one, was loaded with kernels. I mean, loaded. And Dave has been up at his house, and he's taught me how to know exactly pretty much the yield. David Job in agribusiness for a million years, he showed me that how if you count the rows and the number of things and the round the thing like that, that you can. He said, I can tell you right now. He counted them off, and then he counted down. He said, I can tell you, that field right there is going to get so many bushel per acre. So I asked Dave earlier today, I said, man, your son has 8 million acres, surely got a good yield. And he said, man, there were some 230, 240 bushels an acre. Listen, folks, if you don't farm, that's a lot of stuff. And I think to myself, bushels per acre, how many, and I know this, but how many ears, thank you very much, how many ears grow on a stalk?
1 year per stalk.
Okay. David, right? Mr. MFA over here. He knows. Anyway, so how many kernels to an ear? Rose. Okay, Michael, you're the big mathematician here. I'm pretty sure that's not true. But somewhere around 800 kernels per ear? You just take his money to the bank and stick it in the bank, don't you? Yeah, okay. And pay the light bill and all that other stuff. That's I know. Okay, I see that hand. God's good. Sure. Yeah. I'm just saying, one little old kernel, one little bitty kernel, put that bad boy in the ground, but you got to put it in there or nothing grows, okay? So there's the reality of this particular kind of a verb here. Okay. Okay. Wait, hang on a second. This is important. This guy's filled with the Holy Spirit. I know this. Really, he is. So, did you hear that? That's the point we're getting to. All right, that's the point. We don't make it grow. You see, God's put within the seed a power to germinate. And we're not talking about corn, and neither are we talking about mustard seeds. I'm going to get to the nouns here. There are two nouns that are used here very quickly, mustard seed and leaven. Two subject matters here that he's talking about here before we get to the point. So, and the mustard seed is tiny. How tiny? Yeah, it's very tiny. Very, very, very tiny. Let me tell you how tiny. Take 720 to 750 of them to make 1 gram of weight. It takes 28 grams to make an ounce. Next time you go to a restaurant and they say, what would you like to drink? Say, well, want some water? No, just an ounce. Let me give you another fact about this. The mustard seed, when planted, will grow to be a shrub-like tree that is between 6 feet and 20 feet A seed that small. I hear the prophet Zechariah saying in my spirit right now, don't despise small beginnings. How about leaven? Said that leaven was hidden in 3 pecks of flour in the parable. That much flour will produce between 40 and 50 pounds of bread. 40 and 50 pounds of bread will feed somewhere around 160 people. Now you do this math. We typically, not today, by the way, our black sheep people, they're all up at New Beginnings Church listening to our friend Doc, that's his motorcycle name, share his testimony of how he became a Christian. How the mustard seed of the gospel got in his life, how the leaven got in his life and brought a change. And so they're all up there today, rode up to there and whatnot. So we've got some folks that are missing today. I know where most of them are. But we'll feed somewhere around 150, 160 people. We typically will average that in the seats in here. If you are leaven, and you are leaven, and Matt, you are leaven, and Jan, you are leaven, and you, Nancy, I do know your name. You're not just the horse lady, but she has horses. She has horses. That's what I'm trying to say. And Paul Job, you are leaven, okay? And Travis Kincaid, you are leaven, and everybody in here is leaven, and we are hid in our field, in our flour, Are you with me on this? I think this is important. This field and flower stuff, it's ours, okay? If we are hid like that, we can reach 100. We can feed with our lives 160 people. What's 160 times 160? 25,600 people. Every day, I have the ability to reach 25,000 people every day. But only if you as a mustard seed will be planted. Only if you as leaven will be hidden in the flower. It's a choice. You can get up every morning and say, today I'm going to be, or I'm going to be. It's a choice. That's all. I got that even before I got to this. I all got that in the verbs there. The reality of an action that will be completed is only possible by the affirmation of the one who is doing the action. So if you don't do the action, then nothing happens. Nothing good. Oh, man. So mustard seed's tiny and leaven is transformative. You're looking for that? Transformative? Transforms? Let's get to the point. I think the question that Mark raises, and the particular kind of mode of these present tense verbs is accentuated in a way that we usually see it in Scripture in the form of a question. So therefore, Mark says, what do we make of these things? Mark chapter 4, stay with me. How shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? These are questions. Meaning, if you will just do these things, it's a question. It's up for choice. Will you do these things? When you leave here today in just a little bit, will you do these things? Will you be a mustard seed that will be planted in your field? Wherever you're, we talk about it in some places as spheres of influence. Your sphere of influence. And I've just put down 8 of these. And I want you to take a moment now. Ron, I want you to play a little bit of filling in the blank music. Okay? I want you to do this. Okay? I want you to do this. Because I'm going to have you get together very quickly here in little groups. And you're going to pray for the folks on your right. Okay? I'll show you how this works. So the question is, where's your field or where's your flower? So where do you live? I fill this out. Okay, I want you to know that I do the same thing I'm asking you to do. So, I live at 5350 North Liddell. And then the second part of that in the line is, and with whom do I live? Or in other words, who is in my sphere of influence? Who can I affect with my mustard seed being planted? With my leaven being hidden in the flower? I know I don't mean to embarrass, don't anybody turn around on this, but Travis Kincaid is head football coach up at Harrisburg High School. You all know, last week or so for Travis, you all know of the horrible, horrible stuff that happened. I think he has one of his students with him. And this has been a huge, huge tragedy that has happened. And, in any school, it would be a huge tragedy. But in this very small school, to lose someone of the magnitude of Brian Simpson, I think he taught there something like 15 years or 16 years, something like that. He was there at the funeral, and the place was packed. I tell you, I was humbled. And young man, I'm sure that you were there, but I was humbled. I was sitting actually between two former students. And when Chris, the baseball coach guy, wasn't he an assistant baseball coach, Chris? And when he was sharing, did an amazing job. And young man, if you're on the baseball team, you're blessed. You're blessed to have a coach like that. And I'm so sorry for your loss, okay? But He talked, I think he talked about his life, Brian's life, in seven innings. And I think it was the third inning or somewhere around there. He said, it's now the third inning of Brian's life, and da-da-da-da-da-da. And he said, I just want to right now, we were at the crossing at the time, I don't know how many that place seats, a few more than sit here, okay? A couple thousand, probably, worship center there. And I was at the very tip top, and my head literally was on the ceiling, kind of as it was sloping up. And I had two students sitting on either side of me, and Chris, who was doing part of the eulogy for Brian, said, I just want all of Brian's former students to stand. I'll bet 80% of that place was standing. Yeah, I thought, and the guy loved God. He loved God, had a quiet time every day. He loved God. I thought, what a mustard seed. What effect he had in that, I don't know, 1,600 kids, teenagers, now adults, stood. The men on either side of me were men, and they both stood. And there was this hope. For me, it was everything. My friend John Gilman, the pastor of the Christian church up there, great guy. His wife, Kathleen, discipled our daughter when she was in high school. Always loved John and Kathleen for that. And John, tremendous message that he shared. And thought, man, if I was living in Harrisburg, I'd be a part of that guy's church. And I don't know if that's where you go, young man, but what a great guy. But I thought, man, this guy, he really had an impact on people. Just a little mustard seed. Just a little leaven. Wasn't 25,000, but that guy had infected like 1,600 kids or something in there. Wow. And they will in turn become dads and moms and uncles and aunts and grandparents. What an effect. But you got to plant. You got to... That's the point. The point of all of this is where is your field? So I'm just saying, you know, as I go down this, and go down your list, maybe you've already got it filled out. I don't know. That's where I live. My mother-in-law is living with us. What a blessing. I have a chance every day to bless her life, to be mustard seed for her, to be leaven for her. My dear wife. My son comes and goes. I have a chance when he's there to be mustard. Listen, to be mustard seed. And are you with me? Mustard seed and leaven in his life. My neighbors, the Applegates, love God. And I get an opportunity every time I see there. They have a 18-year-old who is mentally challenged, goes to Battle High School. And I get a chance to go over and I can speak into Justin's life. I can be a mustard seed for him. I can be leaven. I can encourage him in the things of God. And what amazing things can happen if I'll choose to just plant my life there. Bill, Joe, these are people that we know very well, personally. Where do I work? Centerpoint. I have a chance to influence you all. This week, we got a chance. We were at Orville's last night. My wife made him vegetable soup, and we got a chance to go and spend some time and pray with Orville last night. Francine, we were with her yesterday, and we got a chance to pray and to speak into Francine's life. And I got a chance to, this cheek, not that one, to rub her soft cheeks. And then there was Russell that I found out about from, it doesn't go here, it goes to Tom Vicky Luther's church. You know, Tom Luther, he's like the 10-foot-tall pastor guy that's here in town. 6'8", I mean, he's a big dude. But he's the pastor of this guy, but this guy knew the Oath family, and they called and they said, a friend of ours is in ICU and he's not expected to live. Well, I got a chance to go. Now, I could have chosen to say, I don't have time to do that. It's late, 9:30 at night. Look, it's ICU. They're going to struggle with even letting me in that place. But I had a choice to make. I could either say, no, I don't want to do that. I'd rather watch a Hogan's Heroes rerun, okay? Or I could be mustard seed and leaven in someone's life. So I got a chance to pray with Russell. I got a chance to pray with his wife. Where do I play? Well, Pecan Flats is one of the places I play. It's a duck club that David Job and myself, we're members of. And I got a chance to speak into two of those members' lives this week. I called them on the phone, was talking how things are looking at the club and blah, 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 and when are we going to put out decoys and all of that. And I got a chance to speak into their lives and to pray with one of them. On the phone, I had a chance to be, you can choose to be mustard seed or you can choose not to. You can either plant yourself or you can have an effect like leaven does on flour, or you can say, no, I'm not going to do that. Today I'm going to choose to be disobedient. Where do you eat? Last night I bumped into two former church members. I pastored just about everybody in this town. I'm not really sure what that says. They don't stay long. And so I felt like God told us, I'm not saying this to boast, I just felt like God said, buy one of them's dinner. So I called the waitress over and I said, we want to buy that guy and his wife's dinner. The other one, well, there were four of them, and I said, I don't want to pay four times to them. So I would have done it. Just whatever, just money. And so got a chance to I could be mustard seed, or I could implant, or I could not do that. And there, and every time I go out to eat someplace, I always look for vets, for guys that are ex-vets with the hats on and stuff like that. I always go up and tell them how grateful I am. I don't have to do that, but you can be mustard seed, you can plant yourself, or you can be leaven, or you can say, I'm not going to do it today. Not going to do it. I'm just going to be disobedient today. I can have an effect. Travis, you can have an effect on those young men and women. Or you can say, I don't want to have an effect on them. But I know you're not like that. I tell you what. Wish when I was playing football, I had a coach like you. Where do you shop? Got a chance to share with the security guard last night at Moser's. It was not a big deal. It didn't take as long as I'm taking this morning to preach this. You have a chance. Bumped into our dentist there. And he loves God. Can't will it. Loves the Lord. And so we had just this happy fest right there in front of the newspapers at Moser's. Got a chance to pray with Ashley this week in room 221. That's who's taking care of Francine. It's a choice. It's not about me. Just a choice, okay? Be a mustard seed and plant yourself. And look what grows if you'll just plant. And growing's not up to you unless it is that you don't plant. If you don't plant, ain't nothing growing that you want. Where do you get your car repaired? I usually take ours to Midas Muffler. I try to stay up with Roger Boyles that owns that place. And I know that Roger has had some difficulties with his family in Colorado. He's got an abusive situation going on with his mother and a friend of hers. And she's like old. And so I knew Roger was out in Colorado. So as I drove by Midas, I thought, I wonder how it's going. I wonder if Roger's back. I saw his Harley there. I said, he's back. How did it go in Colorado? And I got a chance to pray with him on the phone. Oh, it's not about me. It's just saying, you guys are mustard seeds and you're leaven. Now let's get with it. Let's get with it. Let's have an effect on our world. One mustard seed, one little bit of leaven, 25,000 people in one day. Where are you going today? Be mustard seed. Young man, you be mustard seed in your school. You be mustard seed in your school. You be leaven in your school. Wherever you are, be all there. That's what Jim Elliot said, the Wycliffe Bible translator who was beheaded these tribes in South America. Wherever you are, be all there. Heavenly Father, man, I've gone long. Father God, I pray that something has been said that has been that will resonate. Holy Spirit, water what's been planted. Heavenly Father, cause it to grow now. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to tell you one story and then we're gone. We're out of here. My first trip to China, back in the late 90s, I met a lady by the name of Nu Wei. She was 21 years old when I met her. True story. And through a translator, I said, she was the leader of a house church that numbered 250,000. 21 years old. I said, what's your story? Through the translator. And she said, well, I was in the sixth grade. And my grandmother was squatting one day along a roadside. In China, if you've ever been to any country in Asia, they squat a lot. And it just, you know, it's kind of like if we were, you know, it's kind of like how we do in this country, you know, when you're just standing around talking to folks. It's just a way of relaxing. And so they squat. They just squat. So you see thousands of them all over the place squatting. Just, you know, doing whatever people do when they squat, you know. It's kind of looking. You went there, I didn't. Anyway, so they're looking around. So anyway, she said my grandmother was squatting one day, and there had been a rain, and there was water coming down the gutter, and down the gutter came a torn piece of a hem, a corner piece of a hem. Now, this isn't it, but this is a torn piece of a hem. It said she picked that up and she read the five or six words that were a part of the torn piece. And she, as she walked home, she'd never seen that before. As she walked home, she just kept repeating those words. She just kept repeating the words. And when she got home, God had gloriously met with her. And she had come to Christ, gloriously saved from a corner of a torn piece of a hem. She told the family, the entire family that day, Nu Wei, a sixth grader, was converted. Mustard seed, leaven. The same day, there was a knock on the door. Nu Wei and her mother ran to the door. When they opened the door, someone they'd never seen before, nor did they ever see again, said, there is a young lady that lives in this house. Her name is Nu Wei. And God has sent me to tell her that she is to be an evangelist in such and such province. Nu Wei packed everything she owned in a backpack and put it on her back. She got on her bicycle that very day, sixth grade, and rode 8 days to the province. That was when she was in sixth grade. I met her when she was 21 years old, the house church leader of 250,000 people. Small beginnings. So, despise not small beginnings. You mustard seeds and you leavens. God bless you. See you next week. Go get your kids.